All right, joining us now on Overdrive, brought to you by Valiant Financial. Here is our good buddy, Ray Ferraro. What's happening, Ray?
I'm getting ready to come in for to Toronto tomorrow. I was trying to think, what am I doing? I'm not much, talking to you idiots, and then I'm jumping on a plane.
You ever got into the Mugu Gai Pan at Mandarin, Ray?
No.
You ever rock a Mandarin feed bag or no?
I'm not a Chinese food guy.
It's not. It's full buffet. It's everything.
They call it fusion, I believe.
Yeah, there's like, you can find lasagna and...
They actually have French fries. It's the best.
Okay, well, hang on here. If you're getting... I like to go to a more concentrated effort. I like to think that the chef needs to kind of focus a little bit on what he's doing, not be cooking up French fries in Mugu Gai Pan. Hmm. The hell, how are you doing that?
Well, don't chirp Mugu Gai Pan. It's a complicated dish.
You love a Mugu Gai Pan.
It's a very authentic, complicated dish.
And so the same guy's cooking French fries.
Exactly. Doesn't matter. As long as he does the Mugu Gai good and does the fry as well. You're laughing.
Yeah, see, I can't buy in on this. I can't. All right.
Are you a sushi guy?
When you go to an Italian restaurant, do you order sushi? No,
no,
you order Italian food.
Right.
Because that's what the guy does.
Are you a sushi guy, Ray, or no?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, after the game tomorrow night, I'll take you to some sushi around the corner. You'll never have anything better.
Okay, but what if I feel like pizza? I could probably get it at the same sushi place, or no?
No, this is a totally different place. This is the top-end place in Toronto, buddy.
Okay, we're going noodles. You coming?
No. I'm fine, but if I went...
No, I'm fine.
Here's a question, though. Like, if I went to the sushi place and asked for chicken and rice, would that offend?
Not me.
I don't think so.
Yeah, I find they're very very arrogant, sushi bar. Like, you can only get sushi.
So
mix in something new every
quick
once
backstory.
In a while.
When I played in Japan, and I played on the northern island of Hokkaido, apparently it's known as the best sushi in pretty much all the world. And I was taken to, like, by one of the mayor, like a mayor and an official of the city to this place. And they were like, try the sea urchin and try these things. And I'm like, no, I'm good. But I didn't want to offend. But I asked for a chicken. And the guy cooked me a full chicken and brought it out. But I did try the sea urchin, which was really, really upsetting for me.
You don't
stomach.
Have that kind of palate. You're not an eclectic eater.
But my buddies were just going to town on, like, they eat some weird, like, there was raw chicken there, was raw beef, raw, like, and because of I think it's the standards that they have, they eat everything raw there. It was weird for me. I didn't enjoy it that much.
We were in Anaheim last week. We went to L.A. for the Leafs game, and then we went for dinner, Gordon and I. Actually, we went with Paul Kariya, and we went to a sushi place and just turned it over to the chef, and he said, I'll serve you, okay? And so I had no idea what we were eating. So you wouldn't have done that, right, Noodles?
Not a chance. Not a chance.
The look on Gord's face when one of the things we ate, Paul said, you know that was still alive, right? It was awesome. I thought Gord was going to hit the deck.
There was a couple guys over in China, Ray, that were eating like bugs. Like, you know, when they went over
thanks.
For like, it's just,
well, there's scorpion on a stick. There's scorpion on a stick.
The little bugs are like protein, so they serve them. They cook them, and
yeah, like grasshoppers are like loaded with protein.
Yeah, but see, if there's a company that I've been introduced to recently is cricket protein.
Oh, maybe
so
it's cricket.
That's what they were, crickets.
But that's the thing. If you eat a power bar, there's cricket protein in some of the power bars that are over here already. You're eating crickets already. They're saying the future, a lot of protein could be cricket protein because
right?
You can grow these cricket farms.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so then, like, do a bunch of teenagers have to go and catch the cricket?
No, I mean, I was on a conference call listening to them talking about cricket protein, and I said, the problem is aesthetically, you can't sell that to a layman person going, hey, this is, you know, this is really good. This is the future, chocolate covered crickets and any type of crickets, but people eat them outside of North America as a source of protein. And I'm sure in North America, I just have a palate of a four-year-old, so I don't really deal with that type of stuff.
Man, you and Dylan must eat really well, eh? Eat everything together.
Chicken fingers and mac and cheese.
Yeah. My little guy, Reese, he eats chicken and rice, pizza, and pancakes.
There you go.
That's it.
I could pretty much
survive
on that.
That's the noodle special. Hey, noodles are still in good shape.
Oh, you're like, hey, Reese, would you like to try this? He goes, maybe next week.
Yeah.
Which means beat it, buzz it, buzz off. I'm not trying it. Just give me the chicken and rice.
Well, apparently the guy with the most amateur palate on earth is Trump.
Like, really?
Yeah. I guess he just will get a steak and is like, give me the ketchup.
Well-done steak with ketchup. That's
love
what he
it.
Eats.
And
like, now, does this, are we surprised?
No.
No, not at all.
And I guess, like, there's a story out, I want to say, you know, Vanity Fair or Esquire or something like that, caught up with, like, his bodyguard, the guy who's been working security with him for, like, 20 years and moved into the White House with him. And he admitted, like, early into the moving in process, they had a cook. Obviously, they have a chef at the White House. And his request was, can you make basically a quarter pounder? Like, make it a quarter pounder. And it didn't pass his standards. And this guy had to go stealth mode down to a McDonald's in D.C. and bring back quarter pounders for Trump.
Really?
Like, he's sitting there in the Oval Office. Could have any food he wants anywhere in the world. And he's just crushing a quarter pounder.
Just think, President O'Neill, he would want Mugu Gai Pan.
Mugu Gai Pan with a side order of quarter pounder with cheese.
yes, guy.
Anyway, we were talking about Matthews and him being absent last night.
His importance to the team.
Yeah, his importance to the team. And I was saying last night, like, just as a fan, just watching, the fan experience was very different last night because, and this is very foreign. Like, I don't even remember having this feeling with Sundin. I'm sure I did. In certain moments, maybe you'd have it with, like, Kessel when he was really rolling and really hot. But last night, like, when the Wild took over that game, if he was playing, all I would be thinking was get him back on the ice. Get him on the ice, get him on the ice, get him on the ice. It's like an ace in baseball. When you've lost a few, it's like, when is that guy pitching? And with him being absent last night, I noticed just how special that quality is and how few players actually hold it, where you're just dying for them to be on the ice every single shift. And you're like whispering to the coach from your own couch like a lunatic. But it wasn't available to me last night, and I'm sure I speak for every Leaf fan.
Well, it's astounding, really, that a guy at this level can be that good. You know, like in Pee Wee and Bantam and Junior, for that matter, there are guys that are way better than everybody else because they just are. But then everything kind of flattens out a little bit, or a lot, when you get to pro hockey. Yet there's certain guys, and I don't know how many there are. We were trying to come up with the MVP guys yesterday, but, you know, I mean, would there be 25 of those guys that you, around the league, you go, if you're a fan of that team, you're like, where is he? We need him back on the ice now. Because there's not 50 of them, I don't think, but the special guys, they just become bigger than anybody else. Everyone else is a lunch bag letdown after him. No matter how well Kadri played last night, or yeah, Patrick Marleau had a good game, but it's not the same. And
right.
it's pretty awesome that if you're a Leaf fan and you're not too young, that you are going to get to watch Matthews start to finish. Like, you're going to, like a Pittsburgh fan, imagine a kid that was right in the heyday of being a fan who was 7 years old when Mario started, or 7 years old, well, 7 years old when Mario started and went from Mario to Sid. Like, how lucky is that fan experience? And if you're just a kid and you're starting with Matthews, and over the next whatever years that he plays, how cool is that, that you're going to watch one of the best players in the game play his entire career?
Well, you know what it's going to be like, Ray? It's like the former players, the older players who are bitter at the younger players because they didn't make the money, and all these guys are making all the money today. That's going to be the fan interaction. The 20-year-old who's into the Leafs now, who only knows the Matthews era and, wow, how great is this?
Yeah, they're going to say, how did I had to watch those 15 years of garbage.
I had to watch, exactly. when Phil was the best player. Even when Matz was a great player, and he was a great player, Matthews does appear to be on a different level. And, you know, we had a couple of great years with Gilmore and Wendell, but there was a long, long time, and long stretch, and many, many lean years.
Yeah.
And you're right. If he continues at this pace, and he stays healthy, and he signs the deals, and he plays the next 15 years here, consider yourself lucky if this is what you're really just tuning into, because this was not the case for like 30 years.
Well, I think it speaks to how special these guys are when they do come along. Because every year, 210 guys get drafted, and I guess the potential for somebody to be a superstar is there every year. But there are just some guys that have been touched by the gods that are just better than everybody else. And, you know, Edmonton gets it. You know, it didn't take them long to come up with McJesus, and they go to watch the Oilers. They've always supported that team well, even when they stunk for a decade. But it's different. You know, Noodles, you go there quite frequently. Yeah. I've done a few games there. You just sense it's different. It's because he's there.
Well, the confidence from the fan base, a lot like Toronto, is, hey, we've got a game breaker. We've got a guy that, you know, now, I mean, I've talked to people in Edmonton recently saying, like, hey, well, you know, some of the moves right now, they're a little bit down on Chiarelli. Like, hey, this hasn't worked out. Like, he needs help. You got to help him. And same situation. If things did drop off here in Toronto, Matthews' play hasn't dropped off. It's you know, now we're looking at Nylander a little bit, looking at Marner. But the consistent player from start to right now has been Austin Matthews. Really has maybe had a couple off periods or a couple turnovers here, but he's... Every night he's
overall,
been a threat.
Overall, you know what he is.
Exactly.
I think, Ray, you actually you described it perfectly. For the longest time, as a lifelong Leaf fan, you go to watch the team, and you're going to support the team, and it's, hey, I'm going to watch the Leafs tonight. Now there's a part of you that's like, I'm going to watch Matthews. You know, that's who I'm going to watch. It's him, because I can't believe he's on the team.
I wonder what it must be like for his parents. They go to the game, and they say a bunch of these adults going to the game with their kid's jersey on. Like, it must be just, like, you still can't believe it's still your kid.
Right.
You know, I'm sure at some point Austin was a pain in the ass to his parents as a teenager. I'm sure he was. Every other teenager was. And then you got to know that he's special, that, oh, man, he does things other people can't do, but he's still your kid. Then you go to the game, and there's thousands of people wearing 34 Matthews jerseys.
Yeah.
It must be just crazy.
I was reading a story before we came on out of Buffalo. I didn't pick up on it post-game the other night, but I guess they're coming off a 3-1 win against Washington, and Eichel had an assist, and he's leading the team in assists, leading the team in points, I believe.
Yeah.
But he came out after the game and said, he's got to start shooting more. I'm paraphrasing. He's got to start shooting more because the fans want him to shoot more. I was really caught off guard. Like, where are you getting that from?
Dummy fan says, shoot the puck.
But, like, since when, exactly, like, is a player all about customer service? You're not selling used cars.
You shoot to score, and you shoot when the time is right. You don't shoot because some guy's yelling, shoot.
Yeah, I would say that would be the last thing I would ever be concerned with. That some guy that's sitting up in the stands wants me to shoot the puck or pass the puck. I would say in most cases I'm probably more qualified as an NHL player than the guy that's sitting there watching me play to make that decision.
That's also had 45 beers.
Well, sometimes, as we know, there is more clarity the deeper you get.
I honestly think that I find the drunk guy yelling is so funny. Like, it's just... It's hilarious.
There's nothing more funny.
It's like, you just want to say, hey, bud, you know the guy can't hear you.
But his confidence level is so superior to anyone else's in that building.
He's doing
And the mood switches where it's like, if his team's winning, he's like, guy in the Rangers, you suck. But then if his team starts losing, he'll be like, come on, Freddie Anderson.
Yeah, the actual, you know, when you said that, oh, about, you know, the guy can't hear you. That is something that parents don't get when they go watch their minor hockey kid. You know, by the time he hears you and processes that, the puck's gone, right?
Yeah.
Like, do you guys understand that? You're wasting your breath.
And if
and
he
you're
actually
just
does
yourself
hear,
as an ass.
If he does hear it, Ray, he's embarrassed when he does hear it. So why would you want to do that to your kid?
Just go watch. But if you're nine beers deep, you're just yelling anyway. You're just. I go there. I watch the games. I'm not yelling at the players. I will yell at the official. I'm sure he can hear me quite clearly. But.
Yeah, that's a bit different. But.
How were you with Landon? Like, were you? I mean, when you watched Landon growing up,
Noodles. I always wondered why my dad stood down the end of the rink and never talked to anybody else and just watch. I would go there. Never. I remember yelling at him once, like loud. In the rink, he was like 11-ish, and he went back to the bench and broke his stick on the boards. And I don't know where he would have learned that. And and so I yelled, you know, I just yelled, "Hey!" And he stopped, and you know, this got into the boards, you know, got into the bench, and you know, I probably shouldn't have yelled, but that was a $200 stick.
Yeah, you were paying for the stick.
Exactly. Yeah, you had to go buy him a new stick after the game. So yeah, you'd be pissed.
Or probably what happened is he had to wait till the next day till I could get into the rink and take one of Jeff Odger's sticks, because Odger wasn't shooting much with him. He was just dropping them. So.
Yeah, that's a good point. I don't know. It makes you wonder with the Eichel stuff, if that's social media driven. Like, they were talking about that on Leafs Lunch, how affected athletes in today's day and age can be just seeing tweets.
Honestly, we've we can all have our own story about it. There was an NHL coach, I think, that told us when we were having beers in Chicago at the draft that some of the guys on his team shoot for their analytics. Like, they won't battle.
Cross the blue line, they just want a little flick shot on net.
They won't try to get inside ice. They won't try and challenge the defender. They just want to make sure that they get, you know, positive Corsi. And he said that that's not conducive to winning. It's conducive to good numbers.
Well, you know, there's so much information and they all have access to it. We didn't have access to anything, right? And I mean, that was a different time, and whatever numbers they kept, we certainly didn't know what they were. But when Ralph Kruger was coaching the Oilers, we went in to have our pregame chat with him or whatever, and it turned into this wide-ranging discussion. And one thing that he said, and I thought it was really interesting, he's like, you know, because I don't know how many years ago Kruger was the coach there, you know, half a dozen probably by now. And he said, you know, I got to learn more about this Twitter. He said, because I need to know or understand how the players are using it, how they're communicating with it, what influence they get from it. And I thought, wow, because I'd never really thought of it. And, you know, it can easily be more than a little distracting, I'm sure, to say to the player. I mean, it's bad enough, like, you know, if somebody doesn't like something I say, they send a tweet to me and call me a bloody idiot or something. But if you just get a barrage of them all the time and you're the type of guy that it bugs as a player, it could be concerning for sure.
Absolutely. Absolutely. These guys are humans.
Yeah.
I mean, it's so, like, everyone that claims they've got thick skin and nothing affects them, they're lying. You're lying. Like, something can touch a nerve.
For
something
sure.
can
you know
be
what?
Said.
Just think, if you get 10 people tell you do something well, one person rips you, you remember the one.
Right.
You don't remember the 10 good ones. And so maybe Eichel's getting, I don't know, and we're just supposing here, but maybe Eichel's getting a whole bunch of crap about not shooting the puck and not being aggressive enough, and he's like, yeah, you know what, I got to shoot the puck. Well, again, to where we started, what the guy in row 12 or row 112 says really should be of zero concern to him.
And guess what? When you sign a contract like that, the demands go way up on what you're supposed to be doing or what people think you're supposed to be doing on the ice.
I can't believe he's not getting texts about he should start stopping the puck, too.
That's because coming.
Because that's another problem they got there. And, well, what the hell? We're paying him $10 million. He's got to do more when, if Robin Leonard's flipping around in the crease like a dolphin, I mean, which he tends to do. I mean, then
I'm not quite sure Bobby Lenz is a starter.
would you go, okay, Bobby Lenz, Johnny Enroth?
Mm.
like do a Johnny Enroth to Bobby Lenz?
Like which guy do you prefer?
Which one would you take?
I'd take Leonard just because he's bigger. Like I
just go with my dad's philosophy in business when he was working. If you screw up something, and apparently Leonard's not a guy. He is not the starting guy. And if it's clear to everyone that he's not, you fix the problem. So you remove him from the situation. I don't care how you do it or what you're going to do, but why trick yourself into saying we're going to keep, let him get confident.
No, I get it. But the only problem, sorry to jump in, there's no number one goalies available. None.
Oh.
Teams are trying to pluck Scott Darling from Chicago. They're trying to make starters out of other guys. Some guys are young and growing, like Vasilevsky's growing, Hellebuck's growing, Jake Allen's growing. But other than that, like, we're not seeing guys that are just available. Like, here's a 65-game starter. They're just not there.
So, Noodles, don't you think the mistake becomes trying to make somebody what he's not?
Agreed, 100%.
So what's wrong is maybe Robin Leonard is a 45-game guy.
Right.
There's nothing wrong with that. Well, then you just better have somebody that can play 35.
Well, and that's what they thought Chad Johnson was, because I think Chad Johnson's a good kind of two, a real solid two that can give you 35 to 40, because he's done it before. But Leonard's just so inconsistent. He has been his whole career.
He ends up in some positions in the net when the puck goes in, and, not being a goalie, I don't quite understand a lot of it, but I'll look at him and go, I don't even know how he got to that spot. For the puck to go by him. Like, last week, he was not turned around all the way backwards, but he was sideways on a shot from the slot. And I'm like, I don't know how he got to that position, but I know that's wrong.
Yeah, Charlie Lindgren made a save facing the other way in Chicago the other night.
Shout out to Shutout.
And now though, the people in Montreal, I'm on there quite a bit in the twice a week on the radio. They're saying maybe Lindgren can push Price for the starter's job.
I love it. Yeah. I love that kind of commentary. It's the best. It's the best. I live for that. Just because, 3 weeks ago, everyone had to go. Everything sucked, and now all of a sudden, some kid they've never heard of before rolls in.
Listen,
and Carey Price has to go.
Oh, the poll's coming. We talked about it yesterday. If Price is healthy, would you put him in?
Mm-hmm.
It's coming.
Is he your starter or not?
Is he more of a platoon type guy at $10.5 million per year? Anyway, safe travels, buddy. We'll tee up the Bruins game tomorrow at 5 p.m.
Yep. See you tomorrow. And if you got to make reservations, make them. I don't know what you have to do for this place, but we're going there after the game.
You got it, buddy. We'll have something set up right at the bar, and it's one of the best places in Toronto, pal.
Noodles, rice, and chicken for you.
Sounds good.
Yes, guy.
See you tomorrow.
There's Ray Ferraro on Overdrive, brought to you by Valiant Financial. For fast approvals and competitive payment options on heavy equipment from any dealer, visit valiantfinancial.ca.